Hello, and welcome to Health and Fitness Redefined. I'm your host, Anthony Amen. Join me today as we take a dive into the world of health and fitness. We're going to overcome adversity, depict the fact versus fiction, and see health and fitness in a whole new light. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to part two, all about the COVID vaccine. I'm super ecstatic for this episode. We're going to talk about the COVID mandates going on all across the United States right now. So I know this is affecting a lot of people. So without further ado, let me welcome to the show both Tina and Lily. Welcome to the show, guys. I'm super ecstatic for you to be on here with me today. I know it's a hot topic, so thank you so much for coming on. So Tina, I'd like to start with you. Just tell us what you do.
All right. Well, first, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. I am an RN. Right now, I am a director of admission operations, which is more administrative. But during COVID, I was a director of nursing at an assisted living facility. So I was more hands-on with the COVID pandemic. So I'm kind of here to talk about the mandates and why I am actually against it.
Awesome. And then Lily, welcome to the show. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Anthony. Thanks for having me. Hi, Tina. Hi. I'm here because up until September 30th, I was an ICU nurse. I chose not to have the vaccine, and I was fired for having that position, despite working all through COVID, despite working with COVID and non-COVID patients in the last year. So, yeah, I'm here to I guess, give my point of view and to discuss the vaccine mandate.
Awesome. Thank you guys for doing this. I want to go back. I feel like the best way to talk about things is to go way back to the beginning. So let's talk March 2020. We hit the news. I'm a small business owner here. We got shut down. Hospitals overwhelmed. Just talk us a little bit about what was it like working through the heart of the pandemic before the vaccine was even out. Tina, just start with you.
So I worked in an assisted living, you know, not as intense, obviously, as you, Lily, in an ICU, but it was hell for me. We had no staff. I had to work, since I was the director of nursing, I had to pick up all the shifts of staff who were basically either afraid to come to work, who were nervous about working with any, you know, patients that tested positive in our building. So I basically was working 14, 15 hours a day. I was also sleeping over sometimes three nights in a row at the facility. I was pushing, giving out meds, taking care of patients, you know, dealing with families, you know, staff, like, you know, the staff that I have, they were great. They, you know, they worked with us. The ones that were able to work, you know, we all worked together, but you get nervous. So you get attitude you're dealing with, you're getting cranky, you're not seeing your family. I mean, quite frankly, this COVID pandemic had cost me my relationship. I was engaged to somebody and basically me never being home, it was over. So I've seen, you know, people die. I've seen people actually live too. We've had a few cases where there were patients who were 95 years old with other comorbidities who made it out and were fine.
I feel like through the nursing home part, that was what it was all about.
Right.
Nursing homes are getting hit the hardest because, of course, you have the people that are the elderly, have super comorbidities. They're in a nursing home.
Right.
So you said it affected your relationship, which is mind-boggling in of itself. That must have been super hard. How is that emotional stability, and how did you push yourself through working?
I mean, it was torture, to be honest with you, but I pushed myself because I knew that people needed me, and that's what my calling is. I'm a nurse. That's what I'm here for. This is what I'm supposed to do. Maybe not supposed to do by a degree, but supposed to do in a spiritual sense. I'm here to help people. I have to put my personal life aside to help people who need me, because what's going to happen if I don't show up to work? You had no staff. So they needed somebody, and luckily for me, I didn't get it. I even actually volunteered and went to Boston for 10 days and helped them with their COVID patients too. They were riddled with it, you know, our sister facility. It was just, I felt it was a calling that I needed to help. People needed me, and that's basically...
Were you ever nervous that you were going to contract it, not really knowing?
And that's the thing, too. It was so, like, I didn't know. And in the beginning, I followed a very healthy diet. I tried to stay away from sugar. I was taking vitamin D. I was taking zinc. I was taking tons of, you know, tons of vitamin C. I was trying to keep healthy in that way. I didn't know any time I had a headache just from stress. It was like, oh my God, I have COVID. Oh my God, what am I going to do? And it was like, I didn't want it, not because I was nervous of dying. I didn't want it because I didn't want to let my patients down. I didn't want to let the residents down. I didn't want to let my staff down. I wanted to help out as much as I can. And the other thing, the other piece of it too was, I don't want to get too much into it, but there was a lot of infection control policies that I didn't agree with. So I felt like our building did pretty well because I kind of did things off the record. And luckily for me at the time, my staff was really, you know, they loved me, so they kind of followed suit. But there were a lot of, you know, everything was changing so much, but just certain things with common sense, it didn't make sense to me. So I kind of went a little off the trail.
A little off kilter.
Yeah, a little off kilter. And I mean, and we did pretty well. We did, you know, one of the hospitals actually said like, oh, you know, this facility is doing a good job because they caught it so early, because there were so many different signs and symptoms. It wasn't, you know, your fever or cough. There were patients were falling. They had COVID. Patients were increasingly confused. They had COVID. We had one patient who was completely bruised where at one point they thought maybe it was an abuse case, but it turned out she had COVID. Like there was just so many different signs and symptoms that, I mean, I'll get into that later, but like this taking temperature stuff everywhere, I mean, it's not necessarily that obvious.
I'm sure they appreciated the fact that you were doing such a good job, right, and really helped them.
I mean, listen, it wasn't just me. I mean, we had a wonderful staff at the time who, you know, they did what they could, and a lot of them noticed things on their own too. They would report it to me, and you know, we would report to the doctor, but there was a lot of back and forth with testing. Like, they didn't want to keep retesting patients, but at that point, you didn't know how long they were contagious for. It was, we had one that kept testing positive for four to six weeks, actually. And it was like, well, take off the red sign, you know, don't use the PP, but how did you know then? We're going so far back, we didn't know that after 10 days that maybe you're not as contagious. So it was very all over the place. It was very nerve-wracking. There were so many different anxieties that myself, staff, family, everybody was facing. Not seeing your family, never mind being in quarantine alone for geriatric people. Being in quarantine, it's killer on itself, even without COVID. You're basically sitting in a room all day. You have no stimulation. I mean, this again, is not something that's healthy either.
I really appreciate that. And Lily, I want to turn these same questions over to you. So, same thing. Take us back pre-vaccine. What's going on? I mean, you're in the ICU. So you were talking a little pre-show how eventually you became a COVID ICU. You weren't originally. But walk us through what that was like and your emotional point beyond watching all these patients coming in.
Well, to start with, I actually got COVID at the very beginning, March 17th, actually St. Patrick's Day. I was working. I was on the night shift at the time. So it was just beginning. You know, we had a couple of COVID patients at that time. And it was scary. You know, we didn't know much about this. It was just a pretty scary thing. However, I got, they were taking our temperature every night, and I actually had a temp of 101. I wasn't feeling great. And I went to the emergency room and I was tested for COVID. So I tested positive. So I actually was out for 2 weeks with COVID.
Wow.
And then, so by the time I got back, through our whole fifth floor had been turned into full of COVID patients, vented patients. And it literally was like a war zone. So I actually even really, the nurses at that point had, you know, there was some kind of routine, some kind of setup for, you know, how to treat the patients for what we knew at that time. But it was like a war zone. It was horrific. It was, we set up iPads so that we could have family members see their patients, see their family members and say goodbye. And, you know, it was really horrible time. And then, you know, when you came home, you couldn't try to stay away from your family and, you know, dress in the basement. And even though I'd had COVID, so I had quarantined from my family from the beginning. But you still wanted to maintain those precautions. So it was a pretty horrific time. And we did have nurses come from different areas that we call them functional nurses, who would, you know, worked in different areas, never worked in the ICU, and they would come and help. And so everybody really did pull together and did extra shifts you know, worked 16 hours, took a couple of hours break, and then would work again. So, yeah.
When you had COVID, were you ever nervous about dying? Was that ever something ever crossed your mind?
You know, it's funny. No, not really, because at that stage, we really didn't know. And as it went into the first week, I would, you know, my coworkers would tell me how bad it was there. And then I did have one night where I had like an acute shortness of breath. And though I was checking my pulse oxygen all the time and I was good, but it was scary, maybe for like at one point, about a week into it, when I started hearing what was happening and, you know, how sick people really were and that kind of thing. But I just felt like, for the most part, that I had a really bad flu. And I did have a cough that lingered for a long time. But other than that, not, like I say, maybe when I started to hear what was happening at the hospital, I did get scared.
Yeah, I know it was tough for some people working in the hospitals. I know people personally who went through it, and you kind of hear the same stories over and over again. At first, you didn't know what was going on. And then after you didn't know what was going on, it started hitting the news. And then hospitals didn't have any PPE. I know a lot of people, the nurses were probably the last people to get it. The general public had PPE before nurses, and that's what I've been told from many RNs. And then from there, it was, okay, now you're going to have an N95 mask, but you're going to be reusing it, so you're all going to be sharing, and it's going to be washed. I heard it didn't smell too good. You're like, dude, it's like, no, definitely did not. Mm-mm. So just those people on the front line, I think it's safe to say from both of you who really saw it firsthand, really had a good understanding after a full year of what COVID was and what was it about. Is that fair to say?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then let's fast forward. We go ahead and we're hitting late 2020. The vaccine's being talked about. It's starting to come out, and then it gets pushed, and the first people it gets offered to is healthcare workers. So Tina, take this question first. When the vaccine first came out, what were your initial thoughts about it before any other information was kind of released? Because you guys were the first ones eligible to get it.
Not enough science behind it.
Why do you say that?
Too soon. I think science needs 7 to 10 years in order to really know what side effects you could have.
So most vaccines, I think it's fair to say, go through some kind of pre-trial, and this was rushed. Were you happy with the fact that it was pushed out quickly to get to the general public?
I didn't think that they gave natural immunity time. I didn't think that they gave the virus time to evolve, you know, because a lot of times a virus could mutate into a lesser virus, basically. Mm-hmm. So I didn't think there was enough time for any of that. I think it was too soon. I think it was rushed. The job that I was at last year was one of the first to mandate, and it was one of the reasons why I left, because I felt, again, not enough time, not enough science. You're mandating, you're forcing. Half of the staff that I worked with didn't want the vaccine, and they ended up getting it, even though it went against completely what they believed in. And most of them were saying it's too soon. We're rolling it out too soon. It's one of the reasons why I left. I mean, I ended up getting vaccinated in April, but I don't know. I just don't agree with it being rolled out so fast.
When you got it, was that a fear of losing your job?
Yeah, it was out of fear of that. It was out of fear of, like, you know, the bullying of, you know, being so anti-vax, so the unvaccinated, you know, these labels, you know, at work, like, who's not vaccinated, you have to wear a mask. Like, you know, at one point it was coming to, if you're not vaccinated, you have to wear a mask before everybody, you know, right before that. So it was like you're basically called out in front of everybody if you're this, you know, crazy anti-vaxxer, which is ridiculous.
So you kind of felt segregated.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's going on now, you know. So with going into restaurants in the city and, you know, you're not going to be able to fly. Like, they're basically making it difficult for these anti-vaxxers, which I can't stand that term, quite honestly, but this is what, you know, the labeling.
I think it's safe
this
to
is
say
the bullying that's going on.
You get the flu vaccine Have you ever had that or polio, MMR?
Right. This is what I'm saying. So actually, this is what's going to bring me to this. So let's look at the actual definition of a vaccine. I just want to read that because this is my, okay. So
okay.
An actual definition of a vaccine, if you Google it and look it up, is a substance used to stimulate the production of antibodies and provide immunity against one or several diseases prepared from the causative agent of a disease. Its products or a synthetic substitute treated to act as an antigen without inducing the disease. Let's just let that sink in.
Very interesting.
Okay, so here, okay, you're mandating something that's not an actual definition of a vaccine.
Why do you say that?
Because you're right here in your definition, it's saying provide immunity. So if you look at Israel, if you look at Singapore, they were highly vaccinated and they're still having COVID cases. So I want to see no COVID cases. So why am I still seeing this? And why are you mandating something that's ultimately not stopping the spread of the disease? Of this vaccine is a treatment option at best. That's what we should call it, a treatment option. And in this treatment option, okay, you should have the right to decide. This is what I want to do with my body. Your doctor should have the discussion with you, just like with any other treatment option. Somebody has cancer, they come in. Why should they take chemo? Why shouldn't they take chemo? Give me the benefits of me taking chemo. Give me the risk factors of taking chemo. Why isn't any of this coming up as topic for this treatment option at best? I want to know why I need to take the vaccine. I'm 44 years old, right? I don't have any other comorbidities. So tell me, does this vaccine benefit me if, God forbid, I get COVID? Or is there a risk factor here? What is this risk factor? Why aren't we talking about what these risk factors are? Do you know why we're not talking about it? Because it's so new. We don't know. We don't know what these risk factors are. How do I know in 10 years that this vaccine, this mRNA, is not going to trigger something to give me an immune disease? It's not going to trigger something of cancer? It's not going to trigger something in my body and pull it out in 10 years? It's not going to trigger heart disease, a stroke? Why isn't this being discussed? And if we do know what the risks are, because I have a feeling that, you know, heart disease, the study is coming up on heart disease, why aren't I signing a piece of paper that you're mandating me to take a vaccine and say, here, I'm mandating this to you. You have to sign this because here are your risks. Why isn't this being discussed? Why is it, oh, take the jab. Oh, better yet, guess what? 6 months, you got to take a booster shot. How come none of these topics are coming up? It's just basically blindly getting jabbed and that's it. And then you're criticizing healthcare professionals. Healthcare professionals. Let's say that again. Healthcare professionals. The people who are on the front lines, Anthony. Okay? These people have brains. These people are smart. These people are thinking outside of the box. They're critically thinking because they're going with science, not the science that everybody's pushing. Oh, science says the vaccine's safe. No. You have healthcare workers who are getting fired because they're not taking it because they know science needs time.
I think this is a big point that's kind of seen across, and I love the passion because I've talked to a lot of people and they feel the same way.
It makes me crazy because you have people blindly following the news instead of triggering something and saying, why aren't healthcare professionals wanting to get it? You're following the news, okay? But why aren't you listening of why healthcare professionals don't want to get it? There's a reason why healthcare professionals don't want to get that.
Stop there for a second. Okay. It's okay. So that's the reason I decided to do this show, because that's the answer to the question I think I want to know, and a lot of people I know in my life, why the people, like you both have mentioned, that you saw the heart of COVID. I can pretend I saw it. I can pretend that, you know, it was a big impact in my life, and maybe I know personally people that died from COVID. Maybe I don't. Maybe I know people that personally got sick. Like, it's a real thing, but I wasn't there seeing the worst of the worst. You guys see the worst of the worst every day. All day. And there's still a lot of you that didn't get it. So, Lily, I want to turn over to you for a second because you did mention that you did get fired because you didn't get it. So, walk us through what that decision was like. Hey, I need to now prepare myself to lose my job, and it's still, to me, not worth getting it.
You know, it's actually been just a very traumatic experience. It's almost like, I didn't want to lose my job. I love being a nurse. I love working with the people I work with. Obviously, from a financial point of view, I've taken a huge hit. Like I told you before, they didn't just fire me. They took away their contributions to my 403B since January. They did not give me any of my accrued PTO. I had over 350 hours of PTO, which is paid time off. They fired me on the 30th, and did not cover insurance for a month. And they pretty much stuck the knife in and twisted it, and I understand, there's a lot of people who are vaccinated who are not vaccinated for medical reasons. This is not about medicine. They're vaccinated because they had no choice. They were going to lose everything. You know, they told us what we were going to lose if we didn't comply. And there are people who waited it out all the way to the end and then just succumbed in the end, not for medical reasons. And there's no reason. We should not be forced to take something, a medicine, a foreign body, an experimental foreign substance into our body with no safety data, like Tina said, no informed consent. The only answer we ever get is, don't worry, it's safe, it's safe, it's a miracle, it's safe. Nobody is giving any kind of education to people about it. Pregnant women who weren't even included in the original trials are told it's safe, don't worry, just take it. It boggles my mind, and I just could not, I couldn't take it. And I feel like it's bigger than me. I know that I don't sound too dramatic about this, but if it's bigger than me, I couldn't continue. And I never had to give the COVID vaccine. Most people who come into the hospital are vaccinated. I had two patients maybe that I worked with that were not vaccinated. Everybody else was vaccinated. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in a state where pretty much, I shouldn't say that, I don't know, but most people are vaccinated. All my coworkers are vaccinated. All my friends are vaccinated. Most of my family are vaccinated. Everybody's vaccinated. So I never had to, I never was with a patient who we were given the COVID vaccine to. And I'm sorry, I'm kind of like digressing there. But my point was, as a nurse, I couldn't look someone in the face and say, okay, what I'm giving you is safe. And I would have to answer their questions, but there's kind of like, I don't know. It seems that anyone who says anything at all, even questions the vaccine, I'm not talking about my hospital, just in general, who questions the vaccine is either, you know, denounced as an anti-vaxxer, or they have us like in one little box that we're all the same, that we all think the same, that we're all taking the vaccine for either not taking it for like a political reason, or, you know, or we're just general anti-vaxxers, that we're not free thinking individuals who have several reasons for not taking the vaccine. Again, I have natural immunity. So when I got my job, for example, we have titers drawn to show if we're immune to measles, chickenpox, rubella. And if you're immune, you don't take a vaccine. So why are we throwing a natural immunity out the door and not even discussing it? It's not even a discussion. It's not. And I've worked with COVID, non-COVID patients right before the vaccine came out. We were all back and forth between COVID, non-COVID patients, you know, and nobody worried about it then. And also I was told I was safe up until, it was kind of like a rolling basis. Even though it was pretty quick, we were warned that, you know, it will all happen very quickly. I was taken out mid-shift and told that this was my last day.
Wow.
I'm kind of rambling here. Sorry.
It's okay.
But my coworkers and my manager was fabulous. Like she, she was heartbroken about it all. Everybody's very upset about it. But at the end of the day, I was no more of a threat to my coworkers or to the patients than anybody else, because with the vaccine, you can get and you can spread COVID.
Mm-hmm. Can I stop you there for a second?
Exactly.
I want to ask you guys, and just all I want you to answer is simply yes or no. All right. Mm-hmm. So, Tina, I'll start with you. Here's the question.
I don't know if I could just answer yes or no. Just I gotta ramble.
Yes or no.
Okay. Good.
Does PPE work?
Yes, it worked for me. Yeah. Yes.
Lily, same question. Does PPE work?
Yes, I would say N95. Yes.
So you're wearing N95 masks. You're going to a room, even COVID, non-COVID. There are some very deadly diseases out there that a lot of people get exposed to that we dress. So why can somebody who wears PPE, at that point you walk in, you're safe, the patient's safe. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden, you're only safe when you get vaccinated. And I want the public to really think about this. You guys, if you get vaccinated, yes or no, do you still have to wear PPE when you see patients?
Yes.
Lily, yes or no?
Yes.
I think that's my point.
Yeah.
Where if you have to wear PPE and PPE works, unless PPE doesn't work, but we have two healthcare professionals saying it does work, then why does it matter for the good of the hospital if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated if PPE works? Is something we can agree with?
I agree. And I just agree. Because I can't stop talking.
It's okay.
Wouldn't you rather have an unvaccinated nurse in PPE take care of you or no nurse or a shortage or waiting 3 hours to get that chest x-ray from the radiologist who left because they weren't they were unvaccinated? Wouldn't you rather have them come up and do PPE and have your stat chest x-ray in 15 minutes? Or would you rather wait because you're, short on staff?
That's another good point. And as we could talk about then, we can hop back into the vaccine. So we'll keep this quick. But I can't mention names, but an inside source has told me that a hospital local to where we live on Long Island is supposed to be staffed around 1,800 employees. That 1,800 employees, they haven't been able to hit for years, pre-COVID or not. They've been sitting around that 1,500. Mm-hmm. This is someone high up. Now, after laying off roughly 15% of their staff due to this mandate, this puts them down to, if you do the math, 1,200, 1,300 employees. So they are 600 employees. They are a third short of what they should be at this hospital. Does this sound safe?
No.
How?
It's a disgrace. It's healthcare assassin. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. It mm-hmm. is so, you have that saying, united we stand, divided we fall. Mm-hmm. Come on. We're falling. Because we're labeling, we're turning against each other, we're telling people they're anti-vaxxers. And why are they, for what? The vaccine isn't stopping the spread. It's not the solution. You can't.
Lily, you have a solution to help hospitals out. Is there anything that, if you personally were the one doing this, what would your kind of protocols have on it?
What, to treat COVID?
Just in general, let's say you're a healthcare administrator. You're in charge of running the hospital. Lily's the president. What would you have done to either help keep your staff stay safe, tell them they're safe, keep your patients safe? Is there anything you would have added or done differently?
Well, there is, I don't know if this is along the same lines what you're talking about, but there's a lot of suppression as to treatments, possible treatments for COVID, and we're putting all our energies and money and time into a vaccine that clearly has issues, to put it mildly, is not working. It's not, they keep saying that vaccine's the only way out of this pandemic. And how can that be true? It's absolutely not the only way out of this pandemic, because people can still get and catch COVID with this vaccine. There are treatments out there, and it's all very controversial, but there are research papers on the drugs like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, because what we did last year, it's getting a little better, but we tell people to go home, stay at home, quarantine, and don't treat them. We're not treating patients before they get to the hospital when they are really bad. So again, and I'm only very new to researching all of this, so I don't want to be to put out information that's incorrect. For example, ivermectin has been, anyone who speaks in any way good about that is, again, their voices are suppressed. It's not just a dewormer. It's been around for decades. It has won a Nobel Peace Prize. It has cured river blindness in countries in Africa. It's got very few side effects, if any. So why are we not trying it? At worst, it doesn't work. And at best, it saves a life. But meanwhile, mm-hmm. you can't get it anywhere. Doctors are not allowed to prescribe it. We've always been allowed to have choice in medicine. That's the thing. Choice. If you choose to take it, just know what you're taking, know why you're taking it, and the individual's freedom and right to choose is being taken away. And that's what's at the basis of all mm-hmm. this. So I feel like I just think we need to put more research into possible treatments rather than just pushing the vaccine.
I agree, and I just want to ask you guys a question that you hear all the time through mainstream media, and no one really asks the people that are there. So here's me asking. You hear all the time that it's the unvaccinated getting the vaccinated sick, that in the hospitals, that it's 90 to 95% of unvaccinated patients unvaccinated compared to the 5% that are vaccinated, but they're only getting sick because of the unvaccinated. Is there any truth to this?
Well, just listen to that sentence that you asked. Are the unvaccinated getting the vaccinated sick? Just think about that.
Yeah.
Just think about that.
If the vaccine works, then they wouldn't be getting sick.
Exactly. That's my answer to
that. It doesn't matter. Yeah. If you're vaccinated and the vaccine works, then you shouldn't worry about the unvaccinated person. If you're vaccinated and it doesn't work, then we should not be forcing it on anybody.
Exactly.
It's very common. It's very logical. You know, we can give all the research, all the papers, all our views, but it's just logical. It's like a logical question. Anyone with any common sense.
So what would you say roughly the percentages of the hospitals of vaccinated to unvaccinated?
It's 50-50, basically.
I can't really say because in my hospital, we really had a very low COVID rate. When I left, I think there were 2 patients in the hospital. But I saw vaccinated people come in and unvaccinated people. And we were in the ICU, so I don't even really know. I couldn't tell you. I know there were 2 people, on one of the floors when I left. But we weren't seeing patients really coming into the ICU. But I saw 2 vaccinated people in the ICU. One ended up being intubated, but survived. So that was a good thing. So they do say that the vaccine can reduce severity of the disease. But however, it only lasts about 6 months. Israel is on its 4th booster now. And we're already starting to bring out the boosters. So if it does have any protection, it only lasts for a few months.
Right, which brings me back to my definition of a vaccine of, you know, basically eradicating the disease. And that's the other thing, just to jump on that with the booster shots. Like, I mean, why aren't we pulling antibodies before we're given boosters? That's what you used to do. Like you said it before, you know, you get your titers done and then you see your antibodies. Why is all this science out the window too? Why is this common knowledge all of a sudden something of an unpopular opinion? I don't get it. So
does natural immunity work?
Right. It does work. It's as good as time. Like, yes, it works. It 100% works. Everybody knows this works. But now all of a sudden, no. Now all of a sudden we're questioning natural immunity when we knew that it does work. This is science 101. I mean, and now all of a sudden we just want to keep jabbing people with boosters. How do we know that these boosters aren't killing your immune system? You're killing it. You know, what if you had, I knew somebody who had COVID who got the vaccine and they were going to get the booster shot. I convinced her, just go get an antibody test. Antibody sky high. She didn't get the booster shot. But, like, here is a perfect example. So, like, what if she didn't check this? What if she didn't have somebody telling her this, okay? And now you're just constantly jabbing people. How do you know that this isn't going to shut down your immune system? Your immune system is a beautifully perfect little being, okay? So, yes, there's things that we can use to help our immune system. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm against all kinds of treatments. There are things that we can help. But you have a beautiful, natural immune system. And if you're going to keep giving it stuff that it doesn't need, how do you know that it's not going to shut down completely, make you sicker? How do you know? I mean, look at chemo, for instance, a treatment plan. It makes you sick. It's poison, basically. So how do we not know that the booster shot is something along these same lines? This is where, again, I'm going to repeat myself. I want to know my benefits and I want to know my risks. Just how doctors used to always sit with you and tell you these things before you decided to do any kind of treatment plan. But all of this is out the window, and I want to know why, and I want to question it.
I think it's something we can kind of jump into this for those that may or may not watch. I'm going to reference Project Veritas. They do a great job of interviewing people that are right in the midst of everything. They are actually doing, as we speak, a COVID-19 undercover truth. And their first video was with a federal employee. She was a nurse from the HHS who was referring to vaccine side effects and things that have happened to nurses at her units. And she whistleblowed on the company because she was talking about how the Veris data is super inaccurate because apparently it takes too much effort in the hospital to discourage because no proof to figure out if it was caused by the vaccine or not. I just want your opinions. I don't know if you guys have saw that video or if you have any opinion or any truth to this matter.
I saw the video. When we gave out the vaccine to at my old job, the first dose of the vaccinated, there was one lady who had a stroke the next day. She was 90 something years old, completely fine when I saw her the day, you know, whatever, the day before, had a massive stroke the next day, ended up passing away. Three other patients that had got it suddenly had ground glass pneumonia.
What is that?
So it's basically like congruent with COVID. It's like you kind of get like, how could I explain it? Like it's almost like pneumonia, but you're getting like honeycomb kind of things in your lungs. Like it's not good, basically. These patients magically had this out of nowhere. So when I had said another patient we had couldn't walk. And so when I had mentioned, oh, this could be the vaccine, it was like, well, no, they're older. They have all these other things. It could be, you know, it's coincidence. Like, that was it. So why aren't we at least broaching the topic of, listen, the 95-year-old lady, maybe it wasn't the vaccine. I can't say that it was. I'm not going to sit here and say it is the vaccine. She's an elderly patient. But why isn't it at least coming up as a discussion or a possibility?
Yeah. And I want to reference something I brought on the show last week to Dr. Bob, who was graceful enough to come on and talk about our immune system and vaccines and all the fun stuff. We just recently in the news, for those that may or may not know, Sweden just banned the Moderna vaccine for men 30 and under. And you can go look that up. So why? Their reference that the Moderna vaccine is causing myocarditis and from specifically younger men. Now, we know through certain states and certain countries, they're still pushing it even for kids at a younger age. What is myocarditis? Can one of you please explain it to us? And then secondly, is there truth to this? Because now we actually have a country who's a first world country, Sweden, coming out and banning it. Who wants to explain what myocarditis is?
Well, it's basically an inflammation of the muscle around the heart, and they make it sound like it's very benign. But there, you know, I've heard, and these are only anecdotal stories, like of a 22-year-old who's now on medication for, you know, God knows how long, and who's a healthy runner, and now can't do what he was supposed, you know, what he was able to do before he got the shot. So this thing about forcing it on children and young people who are at little to no risk from COVID is beyond me. I don't understand it. I think it's scaring people, and people are just taking it because they've been scared into thinking that they either, well, at this point, I think anyone who really wanted the vaccine has gotten it. Now people who are taking it are just taking it because they're going to lose privileges in life, I think. You know, they can't go into the city, or, you know, young people can't go to concerts, or they can't do sports, you know. So I think at this stage, when that starts to happen, I think that's very scary. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's something we need to ask questions about, you know. But
it's basically sad too. It's like you have all these anti-bullying, everybody, you know, hashtag no bullying, hashtag anti-bullying, my son was bullied, this, but your country is bullying you. The country is setting the example. The government's setting the example of bullying at its finest. You're outing unvaccinated people. You're not allowing them to go to a restaurant in the city. Next is going to be, they're not going to be able to fly. We know that's coming, obviously. You have to show your cards. What happened to HIPAA? All of a sudden, this is out of the window. Hey, I want to know if that chef behind, you know, who's cooking my food, if he has the hepatitis vaccine. Why can't I ask him that? You know, it's bullying at its finest. This is the example that the government is setting, and it's devastating.
I've heard the government has publicly come on and said that they're sick of treating the unvaccinated population. It's their fault. Therefore, why should we be spending time, effort, money to treat them? So, Lily, I know you're the one who decided not to go ahead and get it. Do you feel like you're being discriminated against? And how does that statement sit with you, knowing that your own government is coming out saying they're sick of treating the unvaccinated? But as an ICU nurse, I'm sure you see a lot of patients that come in for preventable diseases that wouldn't be a thing and if the person didn't do XYZ. Can you talk us a little about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, big pharmacy and medicine, we wouldn't be in business if people weren't sick. So a lot of people, of course, most people that any nurse treats is in the hospital for chronic conditions. People that, you know, we overeat, we take the wrong, we don't treat our, you know, like diabetes, can be self-induced, heart conditions, you know, so why now are we choosing to mistreat people or discriminate against them because they made a personal choice to take whatever risks they want to take? If I'm unvaccinated and I choose to take that risk, then I choose to take that risk. You know, if you're vaccinated, you have no reason to fear me. You have no reason to be worried about getting COVID from me. So why are we discriminating against people? It's devastating. It's devastating to be, they're creating this like two-tier system. And like when I was working for the last few months, I had to get swabbed. I had to get tested every week because I was unvaccinated. So that highlighted the fact that I am unvaccinated. I had to go get my weekly swab, which, you know, swabbing a asymptomatic, naturally immune person, it goes against all kind of medical common sense, you know. And I'm not advocating for testing, but my unvaccinated nurses were co-workers were also equally could get the virus, but they weren't tested, but I was tested. So then that also skews the numbers, because if for some reason I tested positive, which, you know, we know the PCR is not that reliable, the only people who are testing positive are unvaccinated people, because that's all you're really testing, you know, in situations like that. But, you know, the vaccine that was supposed to return everything to normal, vaccinated people now, since certain areas, still have to wear their masks and still have to, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. And I think I went off the question that you asked me. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Why I made the decision was just that I couldn't take it for myself, number one, and I couldn't take it because I know something's just not right. It's just not right. This is not medicine. It's not medicine.
I agree. And so one of the pioneers of the mRNA vaccination, one of the, like, you know, who helped, whatever, Dr. Robert Malone, I believe his name is, he said it perfectly. Yes. You can't vaccinate your way out of a pandemic.
In fact, it's dangerous. There's a condition called a phenomenon, which actually, if you go on to the FDA, or if they actually are concerned about it. It's called antibody-dependent enhancement, also called pathogen priming. And the gentleman who did, you know, there are doctors who say it's actually very dangerous to vaccinate in the middle of a pandemic, because it's called a leaky vaccine, meaning it's not working. It's it's not working to stop transmission. Therefore, what actually drives the mutations is not unvaccinated people. What drives the mutations is the vaccinated person with the leaky vaccine, because the vaccine, the virus will mutate to override the vaccine. Yep. That's not really working. So that's actually what drives mutations. And they're actually, some of these doctors, Dr. Robert Malone, who actually was involved with mRNA from the beginning, mm-hmm. not so much with this vaccine, but he has warned very strongly against this and could lead to like some, you know, oh my goodness.
Surges,
right. Based on the spread of the vaccine and mutated virus.
Yeah. So just to clarify what you're both kind of saying is that it's the vaccinated population that's causing, because we're doing it in the middle of a pandemic, the virus to mutate, hence the Delta variant, mm-hmm. and I think next is the Zeta variant or whatever it may be. That's the main reason.
I want to say that's the research. That's what I've been hearing from the doctor. I'm not a researcher. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a vaccinologist. I'm a nurse. But this is what I have been, the research I have been doing is what some of the experts have been saying. So I don't want to be quoted as saying that, but I see the sense in it. You know, I see what they're talking about and I agree with them that this could happen. And like I said, if you go, I wish I had the site right now with me, on the CDC website, they actually highlight that as a concern. But they say we can't know until we get it out to the general public. So they know that this is a concern.
Yeah.
But are we telling? No, because we are the experiment.
Right.
We
and
are
that's,
the experiment.
Exactly. And that's the thing about experimental. Again, when you go for experimental drugs, you're signing your life away, basically. You have to give consent.
Yes. And they're not. Yeah. We're not
getting any of it. It's just absurd.
Two final points to really.
How can you like be a medical institution and stands for personal autonomy and like the nursing code of ethics, you know, mm-hmm. That the patient should be given informed consent and be given the right to self-determination. So how can you as a medical community promote that with them, with your employees? This sends a message to your patients, your employees. You don't have the right to make that decision. You don't have that right to have informed consent. You choose not to get this vaccine, you're out.
I want to talk about one final point with this, and I want to move on a little bit and start wrapping it up. But I do know from inside information, it's now becoming more and more public, that doctors are at threat of losing their license from writing medical exemptions for people that shouldn't get the vaccine. I personally know somebody who has 4 underlying conditions and was told that if she got vaccinated, she probably would die, just strictly based upon her super rare condition. But there are cases like this. Is there any truth to, or are you guys hearing the same thing, that doctors or at risk of losing their license and therefore skewing that autonomous relationship you're both just talking about that they have with their patients, because now they're not allowed to write medical exemptions because they're being told they can't or at risk of losing their license?
I've heard this. I can't say that not with my own 2 ears. I've heard it from people. And this is the thing with this again. It's why aren't we letting physicians be physicians? You know, you're taking away their right too, basically, because some of them are thinking they can't take, you know, the vaccine is going to kill them, but they're threatened that their license is going to be lost if they write something like this. So why aren't we allowing doctors to be doctors? That's a valid question too. And like, so somebody who's pregnant, you know, who's forced to take the vaccine, it's completely safe. I want to see that child in 5 years. I want to see that child of that pregnant person who took that vaccine in 5 years. I want to know if they have any heart conditions, if they have any autoimmune disease, how.
I think that's a fair point. It's something I mentioned last week on the show, where pregnant women, I think I'm not a woman, so I'm not going to overstep here, but there is a laundry list of things you can't do.
Right, exactly. And just to go back on your point with this person who has immune issues, again, you're setting the immune, this person already has immune issues. Their immune system is essentially already on fire. So why are you adding more of that to that immune system? Why are you adding something it doesn't need? Like, I don't get it. You know, why aren't people thinking outside of the box about this? Why aren't they taking medical exemptions? Why are you basically killing people in a sense? You're giving somebody who has a rare disease the shot. And the doctor is saying they shouldn't take it because they know that you're just ultimately setting the immune system on fire again, that it can't take anymore. So what's going to happen to this person in 2 years? This person had to take it. Why? Because they don't want to lose their job, because the government is bullying you basically with your money, with your livelihood. So now this person's going to maybe get sicker, die in a few years. If that's the case, I mean, I don't want to sound dramatic. Maybe they'll be fine. I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. We don't know. So why is this a mandate when we don't know?
Lily, is there anything you want to add to that?
Just to highlight what Tina said, you know, like I said, you can put all the facts out there. At the end of the day, we don't know enough about this vaccine. Vaccines usually take 10 to 15 years before they're sent out to the public. And people always say, one of the questions is, well, you took this vaccine. Yeah, but they're proven, you know, they've been out there. This has only been like 6 months they started rolling it out. I mean, it's out nearly a year now. But the big thing, you know, for me is informed consent and the fact that we don't know enough and that people should be given the choice whether they want to take this vaccine or not. And this thing about unvaccinated people, that the world can't get back to normal because of unvaccinated people is just false. It's probably one of the biggest lies ever propagated. It's false. And then I wasn't expendable last year. You know, I worked all through COVID. All my coworkers, all these nurses and healthcare workers who have been fired in the last week, we worked through COVID. We didn't ask questions. We did our job. We did it because a sense of duty, because we wanted to help people. We got into this business to help people. And you know, you didn't care about us then, and you certainly don't care about us now. By, you know, the people who are firing us, that is, by, you know, firing us for having a question, for, you know, for thinking, and for wanting to protect our patients. I want to protect my patients. I don't want to force something on my patients that is we don't know anything about. And if your employer is going to force it on their employees, what's next? Like, what's next down the line? I don't like it. I think
this is a great wrap-up point right here and kind of my final question. So I want both of you to answer this, and Lily, you pretty much nailed it on the head already. How does it feel? Last year, you were all labeled as healthcare heroes. I can tell you personally, through Redefine Fitness, we ran a healthcare hero drive and dropped bags off to every single one of our clients who were on the front lines with little goodies, because we know how stressful it was to go through something like that. And personally, I thank you. To now, all of a sudden, I think the perfect saying was you went from healthcare hero to healthcare zero in the essence of 12 months, we're talking. That title just completely changed. How does that feel? How does that, that's got to hit home.
It feels fucking shitty in plain English. And I'm going to say this. I just want to give a message to all the healthcare workers out there who decided not to get vaccinated. You guys are personally, if it means anything, my hero. I am impressed of you guys standing up for yourselves, for fighting what you believe in, for thinking outside the box. That's what makes you guys extraordinary healthcare workers. You know, you have your ordinary and you have your extraordinary. And I think that if it means anything, to please come out and talk against it. Again, united we stand, divided we fall. This is something that people need to hear instead of listening to the news constantly. They need to know the truth, and the truth is out there. And I think, you know, healthcare workers, every healthcare worker, you know, even your maintenance guys, they play an important role in the hospital. They're cleaning, they're infection control, they're scrubbing the rooms. You know, you don't have these workers. What are you going to do? You're going to increase infection. Like, I think people need to come out and speak more about this, because it's a fucking disgrace in plain English. And I'm sorry for cursing, you know, on your podcast. Forgive me. But it's just so unfair. It's just so segregated. It's just so not right. Everybody last year, it's the same thing with veterans. You praise veterans all the time, and they come back, they get shit. You know, it's along the same line. So now healthcare workers are being fired and not collecting unemployment, getting stripped your rights, basically. How is this even fucking acceptable? I don't understand, and I think that people need to come out and speak out against this, and let people who are just following the news and listening to the news understand that this is all propaganda, and hear what healthcare people have to say. These are people with brains. These aren't lunatic anti-vaxxers, or I'm not doing this. These are people who are thinking outside of the box. These are the people who are questioning, and there's a reason for that. They have the experience to back up what they're saying. It's absurd to me. I can't. And again, I'm vaccinated, but I'm all about pro-choice. I don't like what they're doing to my fellow healthcare workers. I think it's terrible, and I want people to come out more and don't be scared. It's okay. Like, you'll find your support system. We're here to support you. It's got to happen. It has to happen.
I appreciate that a lot. And Lily, it's the same question, and just kind of adding to the point, you went to work during 2020 when 60% of the population sat at home and collected extra benefits and money, but you still had to show up. So how does it feel now to be let go of a job and given, not only just let go, but they took everything you worked for? You worked for your pay time off. You worked for your 403B. That's not something that just was given to you. You worked for that. So walk us through one last time how that feels, being let go. Now, just want to hear from you.
Well, it's devastating, and it's unjust. You know, it's hard. I don't want to start because, you know, I lost a job I really loved. I'm sorry, I didn't want to do this. But, you know, it's kind of like a grieving process in a way. And knowing the threat was over my head for the last, couple of months, you know, because we were getting those letters, and then I knew it was coming. And I think what shocked my coworkers is it actually happened, but I knew it was coming. But it was difficult to work, because knowing that that was over my head, but wanting to do the best job I could do. And I did it right up until the very end. I did the best that I could do. And it was hard, but I know I left with my head held high, and that I did my job as well as I could do it to the very end. It's tough. I'm not gonna lie. It's a hard, hard, very difficult thing to go through. Very, very difficult. But I do know that I did the right thing. So that's what keeps me going. And I do have faith in God, and I trust that, you know, that my family will be okay. Just gonna take some time. But I didn't want to lose my job, but it was inevitable. I only had two choices. Everybody there has a choice. You take the vaccine or you don't. And I could not take this vaccine for all the reasons I said and more. I also filed a religious exemption, which unconstitutionally they denied, which they're doing to a lot of people in this situation also. But for me, like, it wasn't just one reason. It was 20 different reasons. And it's been hard. That's all I can say.
I really got to thank both of you for coming on, because for those listening, you don't know how hard it is to not only talk against something that is being shoved down your throat, but yet alone do it publicly.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is a perfect example of one person. You're my hero, Lily. So look at what they did to her. I mean, you have me almost like tearing up too. Like, it's so unfair. Like, she worked so, not even about the job, school. Nursing school isn't easy.
No, it's
you know,
not.
She went through school, paid all that money, did all this for to make something of herself, to be proud of herself, and she just they just took a shit on her, is what they did. Why? For what? For their own
and
gain.
You know, it's hard to be fired. I mean, I started nursing late in life. I was like 40 when I got my nurse. But, and I'm a hard worker. I have a good work ethic. And to kind of be fired at this stage of my life for something so unmedical and so unscientific and to be fired is hard, you know. I didn't do, and I was treated worse than, not by my coworkers or my manager, just by the whole organization mm-hmm. in general. Like I was a, you know, criminal. I got fired with no rights whatsoever yep. because I made a medical decision.
Yep.
So, but anyway, I could go on.
It's all right. And just to kind of wrap this up, guys, you can see that these are real people. They're coming out here doing this, and we couldn't appreciate it more. So I'm going to ask you at home, how do you feel about the COVID-19 mandates that hit our hospitals? There's thousands of employees in the state of New York alone that got fired unjustly. There's thousands more across the United States. Is it right? Is it wrong? That's for your decision to make at home. You heard part one last week. This is part two this week. And thank you guys for joining us on this week's episode of Health and Fitness Redefined. Don't forget, hit the subscribe button and join us next week as we dive deeper into this ever-changing field. And remember, fitness is a journey, not a destination. Until next time.